Welcome to Why Is It So? Your last defense for common sense with your co-hosts, Paul Zammit and Vince Lochisano.
Welcome to Why Is It So? My name is Paul, and we're going to have some fun with this episode because we're looking for ideas here that coming up with some positive predictions for the year and see what we look like. Hopefully, we'll go pretty well. Anyway, we'll have some fun on the way, so why don't you take a walk with us and see what we come up with.
Well, Vince, it's 2024. What do you think?
Can you believe it, Paul? We made it.
Well, I don't know what we made it to, but we're here. Let's just say we're here.
Happy New Year to you, mate.
And to you and to our listeners.
Yes.
Good to be back on air.
Yes. And, take long.
Well, only 3 weeks, 4 weeks, wasn't it?
What do you mean? Well, it's not even the 10th of January or something?
Are we in January?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like, really.
Mm.
It's been good. So we're here today. Actually, what we're going to do, and we'll just tell our listeners there what we're thinking of doing, is basically just go through and have a look at the future into 2024.
We're going to pull out our crystal ball and start to...
I don't know if we're going to
make predictions about the future.
Crystal balls, but you know, we'll see how we go. And okay. I don't think our predictions are going to be all that good, but we'll have a go. And at least at the end of the year, we'll have something to have a laugh about, I suppose.
Well, it'll be interesting to go back on this episode at the end of the year and see how many things actually turned out to be the truth.
We're going to have to do that. Yeah. Mm. But one good thing about, I was going to say, as I think I mentioned to you before, 2024 has got the same calendar as 1996. By that, I mean it actually starts and finishes on the same days and dates. So
that must have been another leap year.
Yes.
And the 1st of January was a Monday back in 1996. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
So all the other leap years between 96 and this year, the 1st of January was on some other day of the week.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The next one.
There's a bit of useless trivial information for you, everyone.
Well, not really, because I looked and I thought to myself, now, those 2 years have really got something that's very, very common. No, I say in common, in the fact that made me happy that in both those years, Dan Andrews wasn't in politics. So I thought that was a fantastic start to the year, if nothing else.
Did you have to mention that name?
Well, I was so happy about
it. I thought we'd finally got rid of him at the end of last year.
I was so happy about it that I had to bring that up. I know a lot of people out there like him. I love him now that he's out of politics. He's fantastic. But anyway, that was just a...
Apparently he's available if anyone wants to invite him to join them for a game of golf.
Oh, yes.
Because he can't get in anywhere.
Yeah, I was speaking to someone yesterday, and apparently he heard that it was at one of the restaurants down on Newport Sea. But it was actually, originally it was the golf course they threw him off, but apparently this time it's true. So I don't know if it's true or it's not true, but it's good for a laugh.
Fair enough. All right, so what are we going to start with today?
Before we get into the predictions and stuff.
Okay.
Some of the things that happened in 1996, and I'm thinking to myself, it may be in God's will that we are going to have the same sort of year. And if that happens, we're in trouble.
So 28 years ago, is this what happened in 96?
Yeah, in 1996, we'll start with the Yanks, who you love, the Americans. And you should, really, because half our podcast is listened to in America. But anyway...
They got nothing better to do?
Well, they must like the way we talk in Australia. We had the Democratic incumbent, Bill Clinton, defeated the Republican, Bob Dole, in 1996 for the US presidency.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Port Arthur Massacre, which...
remember that well.
28th of April, 1996 at Port Arthur.
Yes.
35 people killed.
Yes.
And 23 others were wounded.
Mm.
That was horrific.
Terrible.
What happened there.
I remember that. Like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, and that was when John Howard started the gun thing.
It actually only took place less than 2 months after John Howard was voted in our new Prime Minister.
That's right.
He defeated Paul Keating in the federal election of March of 1996. Correct. So yep. It was very early in his prime ministership that he had to make a pretty hard call on automatic and semi-automatic weapons and how they were used, and ended up banning them and calling for an amnesty and all that sort of thing. So there was a whole...
Look, it's obviously saved lives. We don't know how many. And, you know, they say, you know, the crooks are all the ones that are going to have guns and the good people...
Of course they are.
Got any.
Yeah.
But even if they took one gun off the street, it could have been a possible weapon that, you know, was used on the public. Jeff Kennett was elected and re-elected in 1966.
Yeah. No, 96.
96, I'm sorry. Yes, we're going back too far.
Jeff Kennett had already served one full term since 92 and
he did.
Was re-elected, defeating John Brumby in 1996.
Uh-huh. And, of course, in 1996 and 97, we had all the bushfires here in Australia and Dandenong Ranges, Mornington Peninsula in Victoria here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was terrible. This is a really important...
this was the start of the end?
No, it was August in 1996. Microsoft released Internet Explorer 3.0.
That's what I said. That this was is very the start important. Of the end.
Yep. Yeah, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. So they're just a couple of things I just saw.
And this thing called the Internet was almost unheard of, and websites were almost unheard of. And
computers were the size of this room.
Yeah.
Basically, all they had was rows and rows of bloody things, wheels spinning and all sorts of things.
And the hardware was those big boxes that people used to have on desks. And
yeah, that's
true. You don't have that anymore.
I mean, now you've got a phone that does everything that they did, plus so much more.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Yep.
Technology for us old guys, me more so than you, because
you're a baby boomer, I'm the next generation.
Well, in those days, when we went to school and we had to go for an exam, we weren't even allowed to take timber rulers in it because they had bloody inches marked on it.
That's called cheating.
Yes, you couldn't even take a ruler in. Now they let you take your phone in and look it up.
Now they let you look up anything you want.
Yeah. It is
unbelievable. Geez, you're a genius, you can look up something.
Exactly. All you got to do is know how to use your phone.
Yes, those things control our lives now, unfortunately. Yeah,
they certainly do. As far as predictions, I don't know. What do you think?
So have you read those predictions, that list of facts, if you like, because you believe that that's going to lead to similar results this year? Or
well, I hope not.
What are you suggesting?
Because, I mean, some of the things there, I would never hope think even about that massacre at
the Port Arthur massacre, of course not. No.
Whether the Democrats are in America or
There is going to be another U.S. election at the end of this year, you would think, unless
he's in jail.
They concoct up something to prevent these elections from taking place. It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, if
it wouldn't surprise me if they create another pandemic like they created the last one. And basically bring the world to a halt yet again.
Yeah,
all in the name of public health, of course.
Yeah, but Trump didn't do that.
No, of course he didn't.
No, and nor did
they imposed it on
Joe Black.
They imposed it in the last year of his presidency to make sure that they could cheat the election and steal it off him. That's why they had all those mail-in postal ballots, you see, to stop people from being able to go and vote in person, because you could spread the virus if you vote in person. So send your votes in by ballot. That way they can rig the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
All right, so what are you saying? We're in there.
Wouldn't surprise me that they try and rig it again.
Okay, that's one of your...
Yeah, that's one of my predictions.
Okay. And where do we go from there? Leave politics out. What's your next prediction?
Leave politics out.
Well, we've had the politics part.
I think it's going to get pretty ugly politically here in this country, because I just don't believe that we have a federal government that's focused in any way on what really matters to the average person out there. They are focused on that many trivial issues, just like they were last year with the so-called voice and that ridiculous referendum, which failed miserably, thank goodness. I think that this federal government has got no answers to the cost of living crisis, and
the prediction is
I think that it's going to get tougher and tougher for people. The rents will continue to rise, interest rates I don't see any relief in interest rates at all, to be honest, at least not until the end of the year.
I don't see the interest rates moving that much. No. I believe they will move maybe 0.5.
Either way,
which is, you know.
Yeah, but the problem is that we have imported another 500,000 people in the last 12 months into this country.
Yes.
And at a time when we can at least afford to accommodate them, we don't have the infrastructure, we don't have the housing, and it's just putting more and more pressure on rents and more pressure on house prices. And the average kid out there who wants to just, you know, buy their first home just can't afford to do it.
Well, no, I disagree there that they can't afford to do it, because, you know, I know I'm going back and saying back in my day, but relatively, it is back in my day, because we had, well, sorry, let's go back the other way, we didn't have the distractions that the kids have got today. I couldn't go out in my day and spend $50 on a breakfast every Sunday, right? We had nowhere to go. We didn't have those, you know, the squished bloody avocados and all that sort of stuff. You know, a cup of coffee and an avocado smashed over a piece of toast, and that's 50-odd bucks. Now, you do that, you know, 52 times a year. That's not a bad, you know, start to save money.
Sure.
We didn't have flying overseas just on a holiday. Mm-hmm. You know, if we went on a holiday, if we got a holiday, it'd be for 2 weeks, and we went sort of around the state, let alone
down the Rosebud or Rye.
Nowadays, they, you know, I'm having a year off and I'm going around the world. So they come back, they've just spent 10 grand, you know, 15 grand running around, even backpacking, they spend that sort of money. That's another money user that they use. Everything that they do nowadays has got to be the best. And like, I want to buy a house, but I don't want it to be a pokey two-bedroom, and I don't want it to be in the suburbs. I want it to be in the middle of the city in a bloody great mansion.
Do you really think that's what the average young person expects?
Unfortunately, over Christmas, I did happen to meet a couple of these sorts of people. And I say these sorts of
people. Okay.
They're the tongue-in-cheek.
But so therefore, the population of young aspiring homeowners are being put into the same bracket as these two people, are they?
Or? Like life itself. We have good ones and we have bad ones, right? And this is the same thing. But generally speaking, you drive through anywhere, through the city, and see how many people are lining up to have that breakfast. That breakfast really gets me. Really does get under my...
Okay.
It's their money, they can do what they like with it.
Yep.
But you can do what you like, but don't complain that now I haven't got any money to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't... I mean, when we bought a house in those days, we didn't even have credit cards to put stuff on. You know, we had to have a certain amount of deposit.
Yep.
And we had to work three jobs to try and pay that thing. There weren't so many women working.
Yep.
Because they are, you know, when they had a baby, usually they stayed home.
Yep.
So it was felt, that's why the guy normally went out and, you know, worked three. Nowadays, like, they walk in for an interview and they say, well, you know, how many days do I have off and how much are you going to pay me? They're the first questions they ask. But instead of saying, well, you know, I need this job, I'll take it now and get, you know, climb up the ladder, they want to start at the top of the ladder. They want to be the CEO of bloody Qantas. But it's not going to happen.
Mm.
And they just don't seem to. It's the me mentality. And I think that's a shame.
Mm.
There are, on the other hand, yes, there are a lot of kids that are of the same age of these people saying they can't afford it, who they have done exactly that, saved their money, got into a house, bought things as they had money to do, even if they put on the credit card, but they can afford to pay it back, because the wages are a lot better than what we had, even pro rata.
Yeah.
But now it's you know, it's the ones that are spending all their money on things that, you know, I'll live with mum and dad, I can spend my money going on tours and going overseas and, you know, going out for breakfast and for dinners and the shows and all. It's all right to go for a dinner or a breakfast or a show or once overseas, but to do it every second week, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I take your point. I'm looking at the overall macro level, economically, what's happening across the country. And in general, prices of property have increased to the point where young people can barely afford to buy a box in the sky. And that's an apartment, okay? Most people who want a house, if they're going to get a house, of a half decent size and a half decent block of land, they've got to go way out of the city. Like, I mean, 45 minutes to an hour drive out of the city in order to be able to afford a home on a block of land.
But we went out a long way from the city too.
Don't I understand that. But I'm talking about these days, it almost requires people to be 40 and 50 kilometres away from the city of Melbourne.
There's work out there, 40 or 50 kilometres from Melbourne.
Well,
you've got Geelong, you've got Bendigo, you've got Ballarat, you've got all those areas.
Yeah, I understand
that. And they have work there.
Yeah,
some
and
if they don't have work there, Geelong is only an hour on the train. Ballarat's not mm-hmm. much longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, okay, they travel on a train for an hour and they can read a book or they can play with their computers or their phones,
sure.
whatever you like.
Sure.
Now, we didn't have that. We had to sort of get close to work because we couldn't travel anywhere.
Mm.
Like, our biggest travel, if we had to go out when we were kids, like the teenagers, we wanted to go to a movie, which is two stations down the track. And, you know, 2 shillings, you had to go over there, get on the train, go and see the movie, buy fish and chips, and have sixpence change on the way.
These days, if you want to buy any sort of food at the movie, you've got to come back with a second mortgage.
Just about. You get what I'm saying? We had no choice. If we didn't buy a house or didn't do anything, we wouldn't be doing anything because we couldn't travel. You know, we didn't have all this, we had casinos
yep.
and shows and
yep.
you know, all that sort of
Fair
stuff.
Fair enough.
But anyway, I had my grunt ring on that, so that's
fair enough. Well, you asked me about predictions. I don't think the prediction for Victoria is very good. I think the level of our debt is only increasing and nothing's been done about it ever since there was a change of Premier. I don't think anything's really changed in terms of our financial position. I don't see anything changing in any great way. They just keep taxing the life out of business. They've imposed more and more taxes on property owners. It's the same trend. It happens all the time. As soon as Labor runs out of their money, they'll come after yours.
Well, yeah.
And they've borrowed that much now, and the credit rating for Victoria is so bad that they can't afford to keep borrowing anymore, or our interest rates are going to become horrendous on the debt that we've already got.
What gets me is that they know that the problem is that there's not enough places to rent, for rent in Victoria.
Mm.
The government, when I say they know, the government knows. And you ask them, you know, what's happening here? And they say, well, there's not enough houses, so we're going to build houses. And they pluck figures out of the air. They're going to build so many houses.
Yep.
They couldn't build those in, you know, 10 times the time they're talking about.
Yeah.
And then they, on the other hand, they tax the people who own these places that they're going to rent.
Yep.
And so if they look at the thing, they say, well, it's not viable. I might as well put my money in a bank and get 4% on it.
And that's why everyone is selling out.
Exactly.
And getting out as a property investor. And seriously, anyone who's half smart will stay right away from Victoria in terms of a place to invest.
They have to.
It's just a disaster. But, I mean, you know, again, does the average Victorian understand this? Does the average Victorian punish the government for its pathetic performance over the last 9 or 10 years?
No,
they don't. They keep voting them in. It's the socialist utopia of Australia. Unfortunately, the mentality of the average Victorian is one where they don't care. So long as I'm okay, Jack, so long as I've got my government paid job or my union backed job, that's all I care about. Stuff the rest, stuff the state. And I think the state of Victoria is going to become one of the poorest in the country, and it should be the richest, but it's the poorest and probably will continue to be so for a long time to come.
Oh, look, it'll be, regardless of who gets back into power, even in 2 years' time or 3 years' time, isn't it?
Yep.
I think it'll take a lot longer than that, regardless who comes in next. Yeah. And really, when you look at it, we, the Liberals haven't really got a qualifiable person. Is there such a word, qualifiable? That really doesn't make you sort of want to do something with them. You know, this guy knows what he's doing.
What you're saying, I think what you're trying to say is that they lack leadership in a way that inspires people to want to get behind them because they have a plan, they articulate that plan, they set forward a vision. And that's what's missing in politics in the country, let alone just Victoria.
But
people who have genuine vision and then back it up with a quantifiable plan that's measurable and accountable, and they're prepared to hold themselves accountable to it.
Mm.
People just are no longer prepared to put themselves on the line in such a way. It seems that politicians just do anything to avoid accountability.
Yeah, well,
they're quite happy to make all of the promises and platitudes that you can poke a stick at, but when it comes to being accountable to that, they all run away.
They get amnesia.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they all forget, and yeah, they don't recall, and all the rest of it. So, yeah.
So
anyway, I don't think that the situation politically in the country will change much. I think it might. There may be a change of government in Queensland. Let's hope so, because it's been an absolute basket case for a long time up there. Another state that's run up its debt like crazy, poorly led. We saw yet another, what they call COVID premier, take off. So now we've got Andrews is gone in Victoria. You've got Mark McGowan who's left in Perth. And now you've got Anastasia Palaszczuk who's also been turfed out by her union masters up in Queensland. And now they've got that other absolute twit, Stephen, what's his name?
In Queensland.
Yeah. Forget his name. He's so forgettable.
He was the treasurer, wasn't he?
No, he was the deputy leader.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I think you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah,
he's taken over, but seriously, Queensland needs a change of government. Badly needs a change of government.
That
will continue to happen.
And there's Labor government.
And their decision, and their decisions in terms of who leads the state are governed by who will basically allow them to get away with what they want to get away with for as long as they can.
Mm.
And when that leader is on the nose to the point where they think that they're not electable anymore, they'll get rid of them and put someone else in.
Mm.
That's what they've done in Victoria with Daniel Andrews and now Jacinta Allen. That's what they've done in Queensland now with Anastasia Palaszczuk. What's her name? Yeah, Palaszczuk.
Yeah.
She's gone. And this, Stephen, whatever his name is in Queensland, he's taken over.
And the Western Australian.
The West Australian, same thing with Mark McGowan, gone.
Mm.
So,
but still Labor is in every state.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there is a Liberal state.
Yep.
It's almost impossible.
Well, there's only one last, little beacon of hope for the Liberal Party. It's in Tasmania. They have a minority government down in Tasmania.
So they're just hanging on by the skin of their teeth, in other words.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
The smallest little state. And they still can't even govern in their own right because they need other independents and what have you to govern.
I'm sitting here having a bit of a laugh, really. When we sat down, we said we're going to have a chat and have some predictions about what's going to happen this year.
Yeah.
It's too much for me.
Well,
now come to think of it.
Okay, I'll make some other predictions.
We're just about stuffed.
I'll make some other predictions. Now that we've all got our razor blades out, we're ready to slice our own wrists. I reckon Carlton will win the premiership.
That's going to be the best one yet.
Oh well, I thought I'd give you a good laugh.
Oh, goodness.
If you don't think that's a joke.
It's really, when you think about it, it's very depressing. I came in here, my hopes were really great, and I'm going to walk out of here with tail between my legs thinking, we haven't got a chance.
Well, if I had started last year and said to you, my prediction is that Daniel Andrews won't last out the year, and my prediction is that we will renege on our commitment to the Commonwealth Games. Would you have told me and our debt is climbing towards $200 billion? You would have thought I'm crazy.
No, the only thing that I would have accepted as being almost right would be Daniel Andrews walking away.
We all know that. That's because he's a coward.
No,
he's a coward. He won't make himself accountable.
He had an agenda. He had to work through 3,000 weeks or something.
Yeah, as soon as he got to the point where he could have a statue built over there in Parliament.
And get top...
And get his big lifetime pension.
Pension, exactly. Yeah. And go and get himself another job and get as much as he was getting before.
Yeah.
Once he reached that, I think it was only about 4 or 5 weeks after that that he resigned.
Yeah.
So he had an agenda.
Yep.
You know, he thought, and I don't know whether he thought this at the first time he got elected or the second time elected, but the third time he got elected, he would have been over the moon and thinking, we're home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, that's the only one I would have accepted as having some sort of legitimacy.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, considering the direction of the country, the state of Victoria as well, and the state of all of the other states for that matter, and the general outlook for the future, and I know this sounds a bit depressing, but I'll make a long-term prediction now. Probably by, I reckon, 20 years from now.
2056, maybe.
Say 2052. Whatever, say 2050, right? Australia will be a third world country. No, it will be. I'm telling you, the way it's going, with the socialism and literally signs of communism starting to take over, not only here in this country, but also right around the world, we will be a debt-laden economy of service providers that don't make anything. Everything that we could just about extract out of the ground and make money out of has already been done and run. And the extreme left socialist greens, if you like, will have had their way, and we'll be living in a state of communism. And we'll be broke, and everyone will be equally poor, apart from the rich elites that run the place.
No.
They always seem to find a way of living a life of luxury and, ironically, enjoying the fruits of capitalism, right? While everyone else suffers under a socialist regime. I think the country will be in such a poor state that probably 85% of the population will be on welfare.
No, well...
It'll be on welfare. 85%.
Well, for a start, we can't all be on welfare because we've got to get the money from
somewhere. But what I'm saying is on welfare only to the point where you've barely got enough for food scraps. Yeah.
Look, I don't see that...
And that's, I'm talking 25 years from now.
Because I believe that the world and what happens in this world is like a wheel. It goes round. It's like the...
Yeah, but sometimes you've got to go through the worst of it before you come out the other side.
Yes.
And I think that average Australian doesn't understand the magnitude of what socialism and communism does to your country. It has never worked in the history of time. You go back over history.
Yes.
Whenever any country has brought in socialism or communism, it has been an unmitigated disaster where the government ends up taking up arms against its own population.
Yeah. I don't believe...
And people are equal... Yeah, there's equality, all right? We're all equally poor, apart from those who are running the country and running the government.
Now, as I say, I believe that the wheel will turn. It will get...
Not in my lifetime or your lifetime.
Oh, no. Well, I don't know about my lifetime, but I'm sure you're going to be around it. But basically, what you've... I think will happen is it will change. It will take a long time to change. But I'd say over a couple of terms in the chair, it will have to change. And it will. It happened with Joe Kerner. It's happened before with, what was his name, the Balti guy. Before Balti, yeah.
In Victoria?
Yeah. There was
you're going way too far back for me.
Well, anyway, it was
I know Balti was probably the best premier this state has ever had.
Him and Kennett.
But
we've had it before, and it will keep happening. I mean, all these things happen for a reason, and we sort of you know, get into it and then say it's the end, but it comes good again. And there are people that do want to change it, and eventually they will get there. Now, having gone through that,
yes,
do we have any positive predictions?
Yep, I'm positive that we're stuck.
Well, we're going to keep this tape.
Okay, well...
Because I'm going to look at this, even if we look at it mid-year,
mm-hmm.
and sort of say, well, how far down the track are we?
Mm-hmm.
It could be like Fakawi Drive. You never know. It could have changed.
Well, a good litmus test will be the Queensland state election. If they do not change that government up there, after the absolute mess that they've made of running that state, well, then... God help Queensland, because it will be just as stuffed as any other state.
Okay? Well,
now
Queensland's always been like that. Even the time when what was his name, the guy who used to feed the chooks when he was talking to the
Joe Bjelke-Petersen.
Bjelke-Petersen,
don't you worry about that.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, this is what I'm saying. There's the wheel turning again. It's turned that far that it's come back up again with this lot, and the same thing will happen again, and it'll keep happening, and.
You know, we can't afford it. We couldn't afford it when
Kern was here.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we had something to sell, and Kenneth sold it. So there's nothing else to sell.
But this is my point.
Yeah.
There's nothing left to sell anymore. There is no SEC to sell anymore. There is no state bank to sell anymore.
If we let Dan open it again, we'll have it to sell.
Oh, jeez. God help us. Anyway, a positive prediction. Oh, gee whiz, I don't know. I told you, Carlton will win the premiership in the AFL.
Oh, that's very positive, yes. Yeah. I'll take odds on that.
What else can we predict? I don't know. Well, what area of life do you want me to make a prediction on?
I think we've made enough predictions, don't you think? Because when you go, I'm going to go looking for this razor blade.
I'll make another prediction. With the way the federal government's wanting to bring in all of these laws about hate speech and misinformation and disinformation, I probably won't have much of a future on these podcasts any longer because they'll censor me and they'll take me away in chains and handcuffs.
In straitjacket.
In straitjacket, and they'll probably put me to the electric chair, you know?
Well, they won't, because the electricity won't be available, mate.
Oh, that's right. We need the renewable energy. Exactly. Oh, there's another thing.
May not be strong enough to take you off the planet. All right, well, so I reckon that's been... I've had some fun with this.
I don't know what we achieved today.
I don't know if people out there are going to like it, but for God's sake, let us know. Go to our website.
Yeah.
It's whyisitso.au and leave us some message. We'd really like to know what's happening here.
And I highly recommend that you don't have any razor blades on you as you're listening to this episode, because you might be tempted to use them.
Okay, so we've had some fun, and hopefully... you'll enjoy it.
Yep.
And
by the way, can I say, before we leave,
sure.
Happy Australia Day for the 26th of January.
Yes.
We should celebrate it, celebrate all that's good about this country, whatever's left to celebrate that's good about this country. And those who seek to destroy it, those who seek to run it down, those who seek to make us feel ashamed of the country and its history and all the rest of it, shame on you. Get out. If you don't like Australia and you don't like what we represent and what our history is and what we are today, one of the most compassionate, inclusive societies you could ever wish to live in, go on a boat somewhere and row into the Pacific Ocean and see how far you get.
But
we don't need you here.
Hang on.
Go and get
Unfortunately,
lost.
Unfortunately, the people that are doing it are not the people who are coming over. It's the people who are born and bred here.
I'm not saying it's the people coming over.
And so they can't go anywhere else.
I never said it was anyone that came over here. I'm talking about it's the idiots here who are trying to make all of us feel ashamed of the country.
I agree with you.
And seriously?
We shouldn't blame the people who are coming in.
And how about the 80 councils that have decided to cancel their citizenship ceremonies this year?
What they should do...
They're a disgrace, is what they are.
The federal government should say, okay, if you don't want to have that Australia Day
citizenship
ceremony, you don't get any more money from...
Yeah, but this is Albo doing it. This is Albo using the councils to achieve what he ultimately wants to. He's not prepared to have the guts to say, I don't want Australia Day on January 26 anymore, but he quite happily lets the councils do it.
Yeah.
Now, anyone with a pair of you-know-whats would say, no, you're not doing this. We celebrate Australia Day on this day, we all get together, and we all put all of the differences aside, forget the history, let's look at what makes us great today, what makes us a great country. How we have come together. We've welcomed people of all sorts of cultures from all over the world to assimilate together. And, you know, celebrate the country today. But no, they haven't. They've got an agenda to destroy the country. That's what I object
That'll
to.
That'll be our next topic.
Mm.
How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you again soon. And please, again, let us know. Have a happy new year. And a lot of those predictions we made, let's hope they don't go the way Vince thinks. Have a great year. Bye.
See you, Paul.
Thank you for listening to Why Is It So? Make sure you tune into our next episode. Remember, it's your last defense for common sense.